Hello, this is Andy Cates, and joining me from Singapore, as usual, is Chen Yongwoon. Today, we're going to touch on some of the key data points that have been published over the past few days. I'm going to weigh in on the US CPI inflation data, as well as on the UK labour market report. And Chen Yong, you're going to talk about...
Hi, I'll be talking about Japan's revised Q4 GDP and takeaways from China's National People Congress.
And then I'm going to talk more generally about some of the messaging from our latest compilation of the Blue Chip Consensus Survey, and actually specifically the March edition that we sent out a few days ago. And then we'll wrap up, as ever, with some brief thoughts on the week ahead, including, of course, some thoughts on next week's US FOMC meeting. As usual, just please be aware that all of the views that we express on this podcast are our own. They're not the views of Haver Analytics. So, look, in general, when we're looking at financial markets, you know, I think there's been very little to destabilize matters over the past few days. You know, I think soft landing narratives have, on the whole, remained in vogue. It's certainly fair to note, and consistent with the way the US Treasury market subsequently responded, that this week's US inflation data were not as friendly for the Fed as they might have been. The re-acceleration in core CPI inflation over the past 3 months, thanks in large part to stubbornly high levels of service sector inflation, will certainly be of some concern. A closer examination, however, reveals that a significant portion of that stubborn inflation in the US service sector can be traced to the shelter, or what, you know, most people would call the housing component. Specifically, the cost of shelter rose by 5.7% in the year to February, and it accounted for more than 60% of the 3.2% year-on-year gain in the headline CPI. Now, the shelter component includes calculations for owner's equivalent rent, as well as for rental payments for primary residences. And in my view, and just based on some simple, straightforward correlation analysis, higher interest rates have arguably been one of the drivers of those higher payments over the past several months. Leading indicators of the US rental market in the meantime also suggest we should be looking at much lower inflation in this area in the coming months. Now, in contrast to that data for US inflation, this week's news about the state of the UK labour market was weaker than expected. Underlying details reveal that employment has fallen a bit, that the unemployment rate has climbed a bit. Particularly encouraging, however, for the Bank of England was the evidence revealing that vacancies are falling a little faster. And even more important than that, wage growth has been slowing. So private sector regular pay specifically fell, albeit a fraction, and specifically by 0.1% in January. That's only the second time in recent months that pay has fallen. It's a fairly rare occurrence, at least when we're looking over the last few years. And it almost goes without saying that this will be welcomed by the Bank of England. So, you know, that's enough from me on data in the US and Europe. But what about Asia? Have there been some interesting data developments in the region, Chen Yong?
Thank you very much, Andy. I would say that Japan's revised Q4 GDP reading is arguably the most notable data release coming out of Asia this week. Building on our previous discussions, Japan indeed managed to avoid a technical recession in Q4. Or rather the broader H2 of last year. This is partly due to strong private non-residential investment, which contributed about 0.3 percentage points to unannualized quarterly real GDP growth. We already saw early hints of strong Q4 investment spending last week, when corporate capital expenditure was reported to have risen about 16.4% year-on-year over the period. Moving to other developments, we also saw a few key takeaways coming out of China's National People Congress this week. Specifically, China has once again set an annual growth target of around 5%, with several economists already seeing challenges regarding such a goal. This is due to the headwinds that China continues to face, including those from a struggling property sector, from elevated local government debt levels, and from fragile consumer confidence, among other factors. Apart from the GDP growth target, the government also revealed targets for CPI inflation of 3%, new urban jobs of 12 million, and an urban unemployment rate of around 5.5%. Over to you, Andy.
Great. So for those that are listening to this and have access to our Charts of the Week publication, there's hopefully an interesting exhibit that you could check out, which puts the evolution of the world economy in recent months into some neat context. We basically looked at changes in growth expectations for 2024, as revealed by the Blue Chip Survey, with corresponding shifts in inflation expectations. And the reason for that is that it offers, hopefully, a straightforward method for grasping the nature of the shocks that have been affecting various major economies. The bottom line from the analysis is the US, Mexico, and India have been experiencing a positive demand shock. Most other major developed and major developing economies are in the sort of negative supply shock camp. And perhaps unsurprisingly, China is in the negative demand shock camp. And that means, I think, when thinking about the calibration of monetary and fiscal policy, that China clearly needs more accommodation. That Europe as well arguably needs looser policy too, if we are to assume that the worst of the supply side squeeze is now over. There's much to debate too about the need for less accommodation in Japan for the same reason. And finally, perhaps more worryingly, the exhibit suggests that US policymakers ought not to perhaps loosen policy too soon and or too aggressively. So that's a neat segue into a discussion on the week ahead, where in the US, all eyes are clearly going to be on the US Fed, which meets next week. US economists and markets more generally are not expecting any interest rate moves, at least not yet. Market pricing at present is instead suggesting that rate cuts will begin in June, with specifically a probability of 57.4% on that outcome. So moving to Europe, attention will likely be on the Bank of England's rate decision. No rate moves are expected next week, similarly, of course, to the US. But there is a rate cut that's expected by June, specifically with a probability of around 60%. A probability, incidentally, that's increased a little over the past few days, thanks to that labour market data that I discussed earlier. Just be aware, however, that this may change a little again, just in light of the UK's February CPI data, which are due on Wednesday. How about Asia?
Thank you again, Andy. So the week's flurry of central bank decisions applies to the Asia-Pacific as well, especially relating to China, Japan, Australia, Indonesia, and Taiwan. For starters, Chinese banks will decide on the 1-year and 5-year loan prime rates next Wednesday. So any changes to the rates will likely be guided in part by shifts in the 1-year medium-term lending facility rate to be announced this Friday, if any moves. Moving on, the Bank of Japan will review its March policy decision next Tuesday. Markets remain quite split on when the central bank will deliver its first rate hike since 2007. On the one hand, several analysts expect the hike to occur as soon as next week, while on the other, many analysts expect the move to come in April or later instead. Regardless, economists will likely continue eyeing results coming out from Japan's spring wage negotiations in the meantime, with several large firms already having announced record pay increases so far. Next, the Reserve Bank of Australia is seen likely to refrain from additional rate hikes in over the near term despite slowing disinflation, as economic growth remains weak in Australia. In Indonesia, its central bank is largely seen to keep its policy rate unchanged as well, given how inflation has already cooled into the target range of 1.5-3.5%. In Taiwan, its central bank has recently indicated that it will apply a moderate policy tightening to rein in inflation expectations, although the exact timing was not specified. So that's all from me, Andy.
Perfect. Before we wrap up today, I just wanted to flag an upcoming webinar that HAVA will be launching with our data partner EPFR, and in which we are going to weigh in on some of Asia's economic heavyweights and specifically on some of the messages that emerge from the EPFR's financial flow data. Otherwise, thanks everybody for listening in today. Further analysis, as usual, on these issues can be found in our latest Charts of the Week publication. And in our latest economic letter from Asia. That's it. Have a great week ahead.